Pawtucket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. 6 minutes after the hour on this Wednesday. More, we do appreciate you listening and sticking with us. Coming up about 30 minutes from now, Sean Ross, formerly the editor of Yellowhammer News, now of SR Communications and the Katie Britt campaign. So please stay tuned for that. As always, the text line 251-343-0106. That is how you get in touch with the program. Joining us now on the line, always great to get this gentleman on. He's always been very gracious with his time and ladies and gentlemen, with his office. We've used his office many times for this program to do our radio show there at the State House. State House Majority Leader Nathaniel Ledbetter joins us on the line. Leader, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, Jeff. How are you doing this morning?
Doing well. Before we get into kind of the news of the day, how has these early stages of kind of what we would call, I guess, the off season, since y'all gaveled out for the year, how's it been going?
You know, it's been going good. We got, certainly as a majority leader, we're helping with campaigns across the state. We got several of those going on. I just got off the phone with the guy that leads our team, and things are going well, and we'll continue to monitor those races and see how they come out.
Yeah, I've seen your social media. You've been out and about. You've been out and about a lot in your district. Is it pretty much the standard fare, the concerns? They tend to be, I guess, more national, economic, things of that nature?
Yeah, it is. I mean, we see a lot of things that's going on in the country that people's really concerned with, rightfully so. So I think those are primary concerns. And, you know, the recent leak of the Supreme Court on Roe versus Wade is catching a lot of attention, so we certainly have had that conversation in different meetings we've been in. So I think a lot of information about the inflation and what's going on with the Biden administration as far as inflation's going up, and people kind of wanting Alabama to stand strong. I think this last session with platform committee that we've put together with Chairman Shedd and the committee of members on it, they did a great job. We got every one of those bills out, and I think that was a strong statement from Alabama that, you know, we're going to be Alabama.
Yeah, and you know, inflation, with that comes potentially later on harder times, potentially, you know, a recession. But I had one of your Senate colleagues on the other day, Greg Albright. He talked about this. He says, you know, even though that looks likely, that these inevitably we will be in a recessionary phase in this country, the one thing about the coffers in Alabama, they are stocked. They're in a good place to where you could weather an economic downturn.
I agree with that. I think Greg and his colleagues have done a good job in the Senate, and I think our folks on the general fund and education trust fund has done a good job, and we've put money back, and we had some money we could have spent, to be honest with you, but instead of doing that, we put money back and was able to look for a day that we may not have the budget as full as what it is today, and I think that's just conservative budgeting. I think that's one of the reasons where we're at now. We've done it last year. We've been doing it in the past few years, and it's paying off.
Leader, let's get to the discussion of the day. Now, you put out a statement on, I guess it was Monday night, as soon as the Politico story broke with the leaked brief, that ultimately a decision, the opinion indicating, the majority opinion, that is, from Sam Alito, that inevitably Roe v. Wade was the wrong way to go, and they have decided to go in another direction here. You said the state of Alabama was prepared to act. Talk about that. What do you envision that being when the time comes?
Well, you know, 2 years ago, we passed legislation that pretty much would say if it is overturned, that Alabama would follow suit. And we've already got a law in place. We passed it with we also had a constitutional amendment at the time. It's Judge Friday now, but at that time it was Representative Friday. It passed, you know, making a pro-life state, Alabama pro-life state. And I think people in our state would like to see that. I mean, it passed by over 70%, and I have to applaud Terry Collins and also as well as Rich Wingo. They worked on that piece of legislation, pro-life, and this would put us in line by defining, you know, taking a baby's life would be sentenced, would be a penalty for that. So I think we're ready if it does get overturned. And I think with everything I'm seeing and hearing and trying to keep up with it, there's a good possibility that would happen. I think in 1973, when this was Supreme Court had this, and you know, we really, the unborn didn't have a constitutional right. And I think this would correct that.
And you know, there's no reason to think otherwise. This wouldn't have broad support in both chambers. This is, and even the governor would likely sign this into law. Is that kind of your read on it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any question about that. We've actually got one in place. It would probably, if that were to happen, it would be would probably go with that law. So I think it would have great support in both chambers. I mean, you know, especially on the majority side, I don't think there's any question about that. And I think there's a lot of people in the country that's been waiting for this for decades, and you know, it's a big deal for our country. I think you know, I've looked at some numbers. Some 62 million babies have been aborted, and we hope that this changes that.
Well, how fast does this go? I mean, should we consider a special session, or do we wait till the regular session in 2023?
Well, I think it depends. Depends on what the ruling time is. I've heard today it could be as much as 2 months. You know, it depends on how far we get down the road. As you know, we've got the ARPA funds that we've got to come back in probably late summer, early fall, that we'll have to discuss. If the ruling were to come out during that time frame, it could be done sooner rather than later.
And I guess a lot of this would be contingent on where Governor Ivey is on it and how fast she wanted to move, because you guys would, assuming that it doesn't happen in the ARPA special session, it would be up to the governor.
That's right. It would be her call. Of course, if it were to happen in the ARPA special session, Jeff, it also would be the governor's call, because she would put it in her call. And I mean, but we'll just have to see how fast the Supreme Court moves and kind of see when we may see something publicly come out rather than leak. You know, it's kind of unusual. I can't find anything, and we've done some research on it, but I can't find anything where the Supreme Court has leaked out a ruling prior to it being public.
No, and you know, they have leaked or hinted at, but not an entire draft opinion like that has happened here. It is unusual, but you got to think. I guess you kind of have to plan based on what you know, and we seem to think that this is gonna stand, right?
Yeah, I think so. The more I hear about it, the more chance I think it is going to stand. I think probably the leak was out to create some chaos to keep them moving forward, but it sounds like that Roberts was pretty thorough of saying that we're going to do our job and what we feel like is correct. So I applaud them for that. And maybe here within the next few weeks, we'll kind of find out what's going to be happening.
I'm joined by State House Majority Leader Nathaniel Ledbetter here on the program. Leader, moving on to the politics of the day, obviously, general election looking pretty stout for Republicans this cycle. We're 2 weeks away or so, a little more 2 weeks away from the Republican primary. How are we looking? How do you feel about this election cycle at this point?
Yeah, I feel good about it. I think, you know, always when we work the House races, there's always a surprise or two that pops up, and this is no different. We've got a couple of races that's a little closer than what we anticipated by polling, and we'll continue to work those races and try to pull our members across the finish line. I know the Senate's doing the same thing. I hadn't had a chance to talk with the majority leader of the pro tem in the last few weeks, but I know that they're working on their races as well. So, but I think all in all, things are going well, and I think we'll have a successful night on the 24th.
Yeah, but I guess it's just getting down to some of these local precincts, and you never know what could happen. But do you see this? 2018 was an unprecedented success for Republicans in the legislature. Are you looking to pick up anywhere, or is it just pretty much making sure your incumbents or districts that have been held by Republicans remain Republicans?
Well, yeah, I think that's right now. That's our focus. I mean, we get past the primary. It gives us a better opportunity to look statewide. The But our main focus right now is to get our members that incumbents through the primary and make sure that they got what they need to be successful. And then once we do that, we have been redistricting. We've got a couple of districts that's turned more purple. So we'll have to really focus on those. And a couple of those have got challengers in November. So we got to make sure that we're in good position on that. You know, we probably got, I guess if I was looking at the numbers, we probably got four or five of those seats. I'd say three of them will be serious. And we got two, I think, will be okay in, but they also turned more purple. So, you know, the 18 cycle was unusual. It's the first time I've been involved as majority leader, and we were able to bring all of our members back, which was kind of anomaly. That doesn't happen all the time. So not only that, we picked up five members, which at that time we had 72. I don't think anybody expected to pick up more, but it was a good cycle for the Republicans, and I think this will be a good one, too.
Well, I mean, in 2018, I mean, that was one of those cycles that was supposed to go nationally for Democrats. I mean, it wound up going the House of Representatives, and the U.S. House of Representatives, that is, went for Democrats. But, you know, the Republicans picked up in the Senate. A red wave, this may be some kind of an uncharted territory here for Republicans at the state level.
Yeah, I think it will be. I think there's a possibility of that. I think we're going to see it across the country. I mean, you know, thing about it right now, the American people are hurting with inflation. It's happening, and I think they're going to voice their concerns come to the election night.
Yeah, it's just that's the headwinds, and even if voters aren't going to the polls to vote for, you know, whatever the hot button issue of the day at the state level is, it's a protest against D.C. and what's going on there. So how do you approach that? How do you try to use something like that to your advantage?
Well, we kind of caught a little bit of that last time because of the hearings for the Supreme Court justice, if you remember. So we seen our poll numbers go up last time when that happened. And I suspect we will again. You know, the thing about it is, I think, state legislative standpoint, Alabama's doing good. I mean, our economy is better than it's ever been. We've got growth that we haven't seen. We cut $160 million in taxes this year. We've give teacher pay raises. We've got a permanent security now. We've blocked the transgender stuff in the bathroom where a female can't use a male and a male can't use a female, and made where a man plays a man's sport and a woman plays a woman's sport. So, you know, I think Alabama can be proud of what their legislative body has done, both in the House and the Senate, because they've stood strong for issues that I believe Alabamians feel strong about. So I think that's beneficial to us.
And last question, we'll get you out of here on this. It's the inevitable gaming question. The rumors won't die about a gaming special session. Do you have any sense of that being even a possibility before the November election?
No, I don't. I don't see that happening. I'd be surprised. And of course, I've been surprised before, Jeff, but I don't see the appetite right now. I think it's going to be a process. It's going to just take time, and I know it's something that's always taught, but I don't see it happening. I mean, I think the people wants to vote on something. I know that. I hear that all the time, and at some point in time, maybe we can figure out all the pieces of the puzzle, and, you know, it's a choice of the people and give them their choice.
Leader, you've been very kind to make time for us this morning, and hopefully we can we'll connect soon and maybe catch up in person.
Thanks, Jeff. I appreciate it.
Thank you. That was House Majority Leader Nathaniel Ledbetter there on the line. Let's get a break. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
And left is living in a cheap hotel. The desert's quiet. Cleveland's cold. So the story ends, we're told. Montanita.